Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this first day of November, first Sunday in November. I'd like to welcome everyone. Do we have any visitors with us this morning? Okay, not. Please sign the register of the red pad in each pew and so we can get attendance today. At this time, let us pause in silent prayer and prepare our hearts as we have the lighting of the candles. Now that we've prepared our hearts, I skipped right over announcements. So let's back up. And do we have any announcements that we need? Ms. Gardner?
I'd like to thank everybody that came to the bar yesterday. Everyone had some part in it. It was a great event. We got a whole lot of people here. Thank you for supporting our vendors and our church. Mr. and Ms. Santa made it here. And Mr. Santa, you remember me when I was a little girl. You were very great with toys. And my Gracie and Jenny just loved that. They talked about that right now. But everyone seemed to have a good time, and we had a lot of good fellowship. But we can do it again next year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Spread. It's really by word of mouth right now, but several women, Nancy Linder, a few of us have been talking that women really need each other, and we would like to have a night out, maybe once a month, and whoever has a birthday that month will all kind of go in and pay for their dinner. We want to go out to dinner, so we're thinking November 16th, and we will have it in the newsletter. So if you are, you know, a woman and you don't want your husbands, you stay home. I'm sorry. And then the children, stay home. Get your babysitters, and we need some time with each other, and we need to build our relationships with each other. And you know, you have a strong women's foundation. You have a strong, strong church too. So honestly, we hope everybody can be there. We'll try to get a place that can accommodate everybody. You know, we're kind of playing it by ear now, but November 16th is a Friday night, and whoever has got a birthday, you know, in November, you get a free nap. So, and then December, we may skip December, it goes January, but you will get your meal paid for also in January if you have a birthday there. So, hopefully we can do this. We don't know what we're going to call it yet, so hopefully it'll be something that'll catch on.
Okay, sounds good to me.
Just take this time to tell you, if you don't have a Sunday school class, you're college age and above, we meet right out here in the North Edge area around the table. We'd love to have you. I think we'd have a good time. We study God's Word. We pray together. We have our prayer concerns together. We share our joys. We have a really good time. Sunday school is a very, church school, Sunday school, whatever you want to call it, it's a very important time. You learn from God's Word where you need to be in this life, on your walk, on your journey, and what you need to do for Him. But you learn to share with others. And it's just a wonderful time. And also, while I'm at it, I like to remind everyone that right back on this little table back there by the pew, back pew, the Love Loves are back there. The Love Loves this year, the money goes to Guatemala, missionaries in Guatemala. Take one of those time with you. You can drop your chain in there every day or so. And I think they're going to be due in about two Sundays. So please get a love. Have it on with you. and share with those folks in Guatemala. Thank you.
Also, you'll notice there's a lot of stuff going on this month leading up. It's always busy during the holidays. But November 10th, next Saturday night, we're going to have Bethel Renaissance here with us again. 55 member choir will be here. And you all may know Connie, thanks Connie King, that served at First Methodist. Well, she is the director of the choir. So she's going to be here leading them. And we're going to meet at 6. We're going to have a meal afterwards. It's going to be a follow-up meal. We ask that everybody would bring some extra portions because we have 55 kids here who won't be providing anything for themselves. I think the church is doing the meat, and they're going to provide ham and greens and things of that nature. So we just need lots of dishes to go with that. And we'll have a fun meal afterwards, probably 7:15, something like that, with the meal. Also, we're going to try to help house those folks that night. So if you have a spare bedroom or a spare couch or a blow-up mattress and you'd be willing to take two guys or two girls, let me know after church, and we'll try to house them. I think we've asked First Methodist to pass the word around. They're going to try to help us too. So I think maybe they're going to encourage them to help bring some food too. So we're sort of doing this together. So if you can help, it would... We probably need to house about 25 of them, I guess. That'd be about half.
Also, the youth, they're doing that Friday night.
Yeah, there's a Friday night fundraiser for the youth. Parents' Night Out.
It's Parents' Night Out, potty training through fifth grade. The youth will be babysitting from 5:30 to 9:30. You need to contact Micah, or you can talk to me afterward if you are interested. The youth are going to have a lock-in that evening after they send the kids home.
Is it paid?
They pay. Well, we're asking for a certain donation, and we'll take more. And they're feeding them pizza.
How much is the donation? Do we have any other announcements?
It's a donation.
We're asking for like $20 for the first child and sliding scale if there's multiples.
Gotcha. Okay. Do we have any other announcements? I also like to remind everybody Wednesday night, Rock City. It's your favorite theme night, so come dressed as your favorite theme. And there's good food and fellowship and lots of nice things going on. If there's no other announcements, we have prayer concerns. We have prayer requests. Pray.
Of course, the youth are driving back home today, and so we got to pray for Micah and the kids to come home safely. Really close friend of ours, y'all met him, and you've met the little girl, Tammy, who's come to church with Micah a couple of times. Her parents, of course, are in New York, and they're in all the mess up there. So, plus, she's living with very good friends of ours who we went to. Dennis had a test run a week and a half ago, found out through the test. Well, he didn't have his test back, he had a colonoscopy. In the meantime, Chrissy, his wife, went and had a colonoscopy and found cancer. They had found cancer that day. And his results had not even come back, and they were looking for him as well, and found out that he has Crohn's disease. So please pray for the both of them. They think that hers is contained, so we're happy about that. And just pray that it does not get anywhere else and that there will be a miracle in their lives. They're under a lot of stress and pressure.
Do we have anyone else?
Please pray for my parents and their salvation. Lots of health issues, and somehow in the past 2 months, almost every weekend, some of their friends or people who live in their subdivision, there will be a funeral every weekend. And this week, unfortunately, I had to deliver bad news to my best friend. Mother passed away due to cancer last week. So pray for my friend's family and my family too.
I do. If you could keep Tyler Zonkel and their family in prayer, he's in Afghanistan. They're just kind of his wife at home with three kids. She needs lots of prayer. He does too, but she certainly does.
My nephew Jason, that was a motorcycle accident. He was supposed to get released last Tuesday from Vanderbilt, but they sent him back into surgery with kidney stones. So now he's at home. He's resting, he's in a lot of pain, he's going to therapy. Please keep him in your prayers. He has a long way to go.
Okay. If there's no one else, let's jump.
Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you, Lord, for each and every one that's lifted up this morning in our prayers. Father, for those that are on our list, our long-term list, have been there for so long. Lord, for each one, we ask for your healing power to surround them, to work in and through their lives, Lord. Father, bring your wisdom and your might to bear in their lives, your comfort, your hand of comfort and care, Lord, that they would just know your presence and know that you're there helping them, walking with them through this time of trouble. And we give you the praise and the glory. Lord, we look to you, for you are our healer. You are our deliverer. You're everything we need. You're the answer, and we give you praise and glory. And all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now help us to worship you today. Worship you in spirit and truth to glorify your name. Help us now as we pray this prayer that you have taught us at your side. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Stand for our call to worship. In times of trouble, may the Lord answer your cry. May the name of the God of Jacob keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary and strengthen you from Zion. May he remember all your gifts and look favorably on your offerings.
We offer thanksgiving to you, O God, for all your blessings. We worship you because of who you are.
Please turn in your hymnals to number 201.
Thank you.
Join me in the Apostles' Creed at 7:16 in the back of your hymnal or on the screen behind us. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Confession is taken from Psalm 28 today. Listen to my prayer for mercy as I cry out to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Please join me in this prayer of confession in silence. In Jesus' name, amen. We have those words of assurance. Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart is filled with joy.
I'd like to read the scripture from Matthew chapter 26, begin with verse 26. Hear these words. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." I think it's interesting that Jesus had that meal with them, and upon having that meal, he declared that he wouldn't be having that meal again until he would have it with them in the kingdom. Until he would share it once again with them in the kingdom.
But in giving him the meal and them the meal, and in saying that the way he did, it was as though he was saying, but you continue to take this meal. You continue to celebrate it and to enjoy this meal and let it minister to you until we come back together again in the kingdom. One of the things that I think that's interesting about that is that this meal is a kingdom meal. Jesus is making it that. It represents something that we do now, but what we will do together with Him again in the kingdom. And so we will share this meal the next time we share it with Him in person. We'll be sharing it with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and all of His glory. We'll be sharing it with Him in His 1,000-year reign on this earth, in His time of reigning in the New Jerusalem, that heavenly Jerusalem that's come down. We'll be sharing it with Him for all eternity. This is a meal that's going to... It's not just an earthly meal. It's not just the meal we share now. This is a meal that we're going to continue to share in the kingdom of God. We are children of the King. And this is a royal meal. We talk about this meal. It's a holy meal. But it's a royal meal. It's a meal of the King. When we partake of this meal, it represents everything that Christ has done for us, everything that has been lavished upon us, and everything about where we stand in Him, and who we are in Him, and how we represent Him. I love it that we take of this meal as often as we do. I know some churches take it every week, and that's wonderful, but that we take it once a month, and we come to Him on the first Sunday of the month, and we're reminded again at the beginning of the month that we belong to the King, that we are children of the King, that we're in relationship with Him, and we're called to serve Him and to minister to Him and to minister for Him on His behalf. This meal brings all of that back to our remembrance, because it is, if you think about it, this meal is the meal of the greatest, it represents the greatest service that's ever been done for mankind. The giving of the life of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, the willingness to lay His life down for us. And so as we come to this table today, we should come remembering who we've been called to be, who He is, and who He's made us to be, and how we should live for Him in light of His grace and His wonderful mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You today for these elements, for this bread and this cup. We lift it before You and we thank You for it. We ask Your blessings upon these elements. Bless them, Lord, as we partake of them, that we might partake of You in this moment. Partake of all that You have done for us. Be reminded of all of who You are in our lives and on our behalf. But Lord, also remind us today of who we are and who You call us to. And we thank You that You've made us children of the King. And we give You praise and glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask our elders to come at this time, if you will. this meal is open for all who believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask you to take it, eat and drink, all of you.
Oh.
Our offertory sentence today is taken from Psalm chapter 20. Some nations boast of their military strength, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God. I invite the ushers to come forth to accept our tithes and offerings.
Shines, oh, look to the sky.
Children to come down for children's time. And remember, after children's time today, we have our first Sunday of children's church. Stepped on us and crushed that piece of glass. But you know what?
God is right there scooping that glass up. And it's all put together in pieces. It's not a big piece. It's little bitty pieces that are put together in a special way. And God puts us together in a special way. We're all different colors and all different shapes and all different feelings on the insides of our bodies. But God wants us to remember that He molds our lives and makes us who we are. Okay? We have a little song.
It's maybe a praise song. Praise Him.
That's good. Praise Him. Don't turn around and stand right here on the steps.
Scripture this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. So hear the reading of God's Word. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And I assign to you as my Father assigned to me a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now I realize that what Jesus was saying to these disciples, some of it applies specifically to them. They're going to be the ones that sit on those 12 thrones and judge the 12 tribes. But this idea of the table and the kingdom and sharing a meal with Him, that's not just something that the disciples are going to do. Everybody who loves the Lord, everybody who calls on His name, will be invited to his banquet feast. And I got a feeling there's going to be many banquet feasts in heaven, and there'll be wonderful times of rejoicing and praise with him in glory. But it's interesting how this starts out. It starts out with everybody sort of looking at themselves and being just a tad selfish and trying to decide which one of them was the greatest. And you can just sort of imagine how that conversation went. You know, because one of them was like, well, you know that I was the one that walked on the water. And therefore, that makes me the greatest. And then John probably spoke up and said, yeah, but you know the Lord loves me more than everybody else. I'm his best friend. I'm the one that lays by his side, you know, every time we have a meal. I get to sit right next to him. And then Peter probably came back and said, yeah, but the Lord told me that he's going to build his church on me. You can just imagine. Nah. I'm better than you are. I'm greater than you are. And so they were just going back and forth. And I don't know what, if everyone was involved in it, just a few of them. But here they were having this little squabble. And it all really just resonates for us as to how human the disciples were. They weren't really, the fact that Jesus called them made them special. The fact that they're going to sit in these places of judgment made them special. But what really made them special was the fact that Jesus transformed their lives. Was the fact that their faith in Christ caused them to move away from this place of selfishness into a place of selflessness. And part of what was going on there were lessons just like these. Here's one of the lessons. And so he uses this sort of this picture for them and talks to them about how the kings rule over the Gentiles. You've got the kings of the Gentiles. They exercise their lordship over them. And those in authority over them are called benefactors. They're the benefactors. They get all the benefits. They get all the goodies. People who are in charge are the ones who are wealthy. They've got it all. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest. And let the leader, and the leader as one who serves. Let the leader be as one who serves. And so then he says, for who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? And he says, the one who reclines is the greater one. But I came to you as one who serves. And so what he's saying is, it's really wild. Jesus' kingdom, Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. But think about it, at the same time that he reigns at the highest position that could possibly be held in all of creation and beyond, and all that's eternal, he holds the lowest position. Because there's no one that's been a servant the way Jesus has been a servant so completely and so thoroughly. He has lowered himself to the place of serving every single person in all of humanity who has ever lived and whoever will live. Because he's accomplished that act of service that can save everyone's soul. He is the greatest, but he served as the least. He came as one who serves, and he said to them, don't be arguing about who's the greatest. The greatest of you will be the one who serves. The greatest of you will be the one who gives the most, who lays his life down the most. And that's the kingdom. You know, we were talking this morning about this is a meal fit for a king. This is a royal meal. It's a king's meal. It's a kingdom meal. But in the kingdom of God, the kings are the servants. In the kingdom of God, the kings bend down low. The kings don't rule over as benefactors. But they fall on their knees. and they find a way to love and to care. And this story is, this event that's happening in the life of Jesus and his disciples is so beautiful because it shows their humanity and their struggle with their own humanness and their own egos. And yet the call to lay all that aside and to become the one who serves. And Jesus shows them, sure, the one who reclines at the table is greater than the servant, but I came to you as the servant. I came to you as the one who serves. And I'm calling you to that same lifestyle. If he's calling the disciples to that lifestyle, then he's calling each and every one of us to that place. He's calling each and every one of us to that place of service. To be the one who serves. Three times he uses that phrase, the one who serves. He says, rather let the greatest among you become as the youngest and the leaders is the one who serves. And then verse 27, he says, for who is greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I'm among you as one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials. See, there's been a time in the midst of the things that they've gone through, everything hasn't been a bed of roses. There have been the ups and the downs. There have been those times when Jesus has come into town and everybody loved him and everybody received him. But there have also been those times when people wanted to kill him and they tried to kill him and he would just walk through the crowd. Well, his disciples had to get out of the crowd too. There were times when they were threatened with their lives. There were times when these disciples had gone through trials just like Jesus was going through trials. And they've been with him. There was actually a time just from the teachings that Jesus was declaring to his disciples that many left. A lot of them just left and quit following him because it was just too much for them. He was asking too much. But he says, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials. And he says, so I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom. That you may eat and drink at the table in my kingdom. At my table in my kingdom. Now that goes right back together with everything that he said to his disciples when he was talking about this meal. And he said, I'm not going to partake of this meal again until I partake of it together with you in my kingdom. And now here he is declaring to them the very same thing. He's saying to them that because you have become those who serve, because you will be, just like me, one who serves, who'll go through the trials, who'll serve even when it's hard, I'm going to assign you a kingdom just like my Father assigned me a kingdom. And we're going to sit down together. And we're going to eat together. And we're going to drink together at my table. My kingdom. Isn't that beautiful? Man, that's so wonderful. But it calls us back to the remembrance that this meal is a kingdom meal. But in the kingdom of God, those who are high in the kingdom and who serve in the greatest capacity in the kingdom are the ones who serve. Not the ones who rule, but the ones who serve. And the ones who serve are ruling through their service, through their love, through their compassion, through their hand of care. I was watching the news last night, and it was really precious to me because it was a picture of Staten Island in the dark, and they had all the lights and the cameras up, and the guy was out there interviewing different political figures in Staten Island, right there in the local government. But they were telling about what was going on in Staten Island to try to help people. And you could see all this food in the background. You could see all these volunteers, and they were just normal people, and they're standing back there in the cold, and they're got their hands in their pockets, you know, and they're doing this, and then they're lifting and setting food up, and you can tell it's cold, and it's not a comfortable place to be. It's night time. I was watching this at about 11 o'clock at night, and they were showing it real time as it was going on. And he said, yeah, and he was talking about the people back there, and he says, you notice they don't have on government outfits. This is not government people. You know, the government's come in, and they're telling us they're there to help, and we appreciate that. But these people are people that live around this area. There's people who've come in from New York, and they've come in from the surrounding boroughs, and they're just giving of their time and their service. They know that they're the ones that have brought the food. They're the ones that have brought all the supplies. This stuff's coming in from the people. And you think, man, that's it. That's what it's all about. It's about people helping people. It's about us becoming the servants, becoming those who care, becoming those who have the compassionate hearts and the ability to reach out and to help someone. That's what this kingdom call is all about. That's what this meal is about. You know, I was thinking about this kingdom meal that we share this morning. And I was reminded as we were singing afterwards about the blood of Jesus that the Scripture says in Hebrews that it is by the blood of Jesus that we enter the Holy of Holies, the throne room, the most holy room where God Almighty sits on the throne over the kingdom. The throne room is the most holy room. It is the room of all authority. And by the blood of Jesus, we've been invited to come into the presence of our God, to be His children. And He says, He equates, and in this context, He equates their lifestyle, the way the gospel has transform their lives so that they become people of service. People who care. People who are moved to compassion. That is who we are. That's what our life should spell out. We saw a lot of it yesterday. So many people that came together to give and to make an event come together. You say, well, that was a fundraiser. It doesn't matter that it was a fundraiser. It doesn't matter if it was a fundraiser to pay off debt. It was people serving, people helping other people, people coming together to lend a helping hand, and it was beautiful to see it happen, to see it all come together, see people giving of themselves. Thank you. But there are so many other ways, so many other places, so many other ministries, even in our own church, where we can get involved, where we can give of ourselves. And be the one who serves. That's who we've been called to be. The one who serves. We're children of the King. But the King's King humbles us to serve. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Glory be to His holy name. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. And as they come this morning, I want us to think of how we can give ourselves more fully to the Lord. A lot of times, it's really about priorities. It's not about, you know, well, does this mean I need to quit my job? No, you got to take care of your family. You've got to provide for your family. But what it means is that even in the workplace, we can give of ourselves to the Lord. We can serve others. We can have a compassionate heart. We can serve in a way that they see, this person's not just being a ruler. This person cares. This person's not just up here being a boss telling me what to do. This person has compassion. This person, there's something different about their life. They're not just doing a job. There's something going on in their life. They're different. They don't respond like the world. They respond with love, care, concern. It's not in our lives, it's about how we reorder our priorities and make sure that we're putting Christ first in everything we do. And everything you do, serve the Lord and serve people and be a witness. That's who we're called to. If you're here today and the Lord's calling you to give of yourself in a special way, this altar's open. We'll pray with you. We'll help you in any way we can. But let's respond to the Lord and let's be willing to give of ourselves and reorder our priorities and make sure that He's first place in our life. Let's stand as we sing this closing hymn. Jesus, 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 there's just something about Thy name, Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Let us pray. Father God, we give You praise and glory. We do recognize today, Lord, that what is so special about Your name is that You're King of kings and Lord of lords. And Father, as we live our lives for You, as children of the King, may we serve You and serve others. And use our witness, Lord, to bring others to Christ. And we give You the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.